All right, Shabbos, saying good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Teves. Mrs. Selma Wolf, with immense gratitude for the refuah from Hashem and the merit of a refuah shlema for all of those in need, and the schus of our brave soldiers and the return of our hostages. Leah Soul, as a schus for refuah shlema for her daughter Ilana Bas Esther, and for the safety of our soldiers and the safe return of all of the hostages to their families. And Matt Lebowitz, in commemoration of the yard site of his mother, Sipora Bas Meir, Zichrona Livracha, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah, the family in Nechama, and the merits Hashem, that may our soldiers be safe, secure, and the hostages return to their families, B'Shalom and B'Karav. And of course, we dedicate all the Maseches Dafyomi, all Maseches Baba Kama, Le'ilui Nishmas, Master Sergeant Eliyahu Michal Charush Hashem Yikom Damo, may our Talmud Torah provide an aliyah for his Neshama and a Nechama for his family. But with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Today's Daf is Samech Gimel 63. And we are picking up Emir Sashem, and we are picking up on Samech Beis and the Beis 62B at the Gemara. We started the new parak yesterday, and we also have to go back. We do have to go back and take a look also at the halachas concerning Tamon Be'esh. We did not finish that piece yesterday. Okay, so maybe what we'll do is we'll start the Gemara, and I think actually it's a little bit of a shorter daf, at least I'm an Aleph, so hopefully we'll get back to some of that halacha. So we'll say, remember again, the new Mishnah introduced us to the concept, ultimately again, of the restitution for theft. And what we saw in that particular area is that there are two different models of payment. There's the concept of keren, when you go ahead and you pay back that which you stole, and there's the concept of kefel, paying double the amount that you stole. Wherein lies the difference? The difference depends on the mechanism or the manner in which the item was stolen. There is, if the item was stolen through gezel refers to outright theft, right? Outright theft. Then the halacha is you pay back keren. If it's gneva, right? If it's a repetitious theft, secretive theft, then if you are found out, you are discovered, you pay kefel, you pay double the amount. In the world of kefel, if it turns out that you stole livestock, a sheep, or a cow, and you steal the item, you slaughter it, and you sell it, then there's another penalty called arba v'chamisha, four or five times the principal. For a sheep, you would pay four times the principal. For a cow, for an ox, you'd pay five times the principal. We'll see why that distinction in those amounts. We'll talk about that later. But that was the Mishnah. The Mishnah also pointed out that kefel is different than arba v'chamisha, right? In what sense? In that again, kefel applies to all items, whereas arba v'chamisha, the four or five time penalty payment, only applies to livestock. Okay, says the Gemara. Ve'ilah midas tashlumei kefel noheges bein meganav bein betoin kainis ganav. Uvidas tashlumei arba v'chamisha eino noheges ela meganav bilvad lo katani. The Rabbos said, the Gemara points out, by the way, we thought there is another distinction. What's the other distinction? We're going to see this later on as well. Kefel, there are two different cases of kefel. Classic case of kefel is I go over to Reuven, I break into Reuven's house at night, I go ahead and I steal his item, and now again, and then I am discovered afterwards. Again, I don't admit it, I'm discovered afterwards. I pay double, I pay kefel. Okay? Well, so we're going to see there's another case. Reuven deposits an item with me. He asks for it back. I say, oh, I'm so sorry, it was stolen. It turns out that halacha l'maisa wasn't stolen. He's holding on to it. I'm also chayiv kefel in that case. But interestingly enough, you would not be chayiv arba v'chamisha in that case, in that second case. That's called toin tainas ganav. In other words, if I were to go ahead and say, Reuven deposited his sheep with me, and then he asked for it back, and I say, you know what, I'm so sorry, I don't have it. And then it turns out, I did have it, I stole it, right? I kept it, I slaughtered it, I sold it. You would not be chayiv arba v'chamisha in that case. You only chayiv arba v'chamisha when you outright steal an item, as opposed to misappropriate an item that was deposited with you. That's called toin tainas ganav. So the Gemara says, interestingly enough, the Mishnah does not mention that distinction between kefel and arba v'chamisha. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, this seems to support the position of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Why? Dam Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Hatoin tainas ganav v'pikadon, Meshayim tashlumei kefel. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says as follows. We'll say, toin tainas ganav, literally, one who makes the claim of theft. That refers again to one with whom an item was deposited. Then when the owner comes back, let's just use names. Reuven gives me an item to hold on to watch for him. He comes and he asks for it back. I say, I'm so sorry, it was stolen. It turns out it was stolen. You know who it was stolen by? By me. That's called towing tainus ganav. I'm making the claim of theft. So then if it turns out that I stole it, I'm chayv to pay kefal. Tavach umachar mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. But if you go and if it turns out that I, let's say it was a sheep, and then it turns out that I slaughtered it and sold it, I would be chayv 4 or 5 times. So this is the position ultimately again of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. The fact that the Mishnah does not quote this as a distinction between Kefal and Arba V'Chamisha indicates that the Mishnah actually subscribes to the view of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, that ultimately, again, whether you steal an item, Gneva, or whether you're towing Tainas Ganav, you misappropriate an item that was deposited with you, Halacha L'maisa, you would be Chayiv both for Kefal as well as for Arba V'Chamisha. Iki De'ami and alternate and others explain, let me say that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, say that our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Don't Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Rabbi Yochanan had towing tainas ganav bepikadon. If a person goes ahead and was watching an object and then claims that it was stolen from him, so mishalim tashlumi kefal, and it turns out he's discovered that he's a theft, that he's a thief. Ultimately, again, he pays kefal. Tavach u'machar. If he slaughtered it and sold it, mishalim tashlumi arba bechamisha. Ultimately, he has to pay 4 or 5 times. To which the Gemara says, "Ki katoni ein bein meruba." Gemara says, "Mi katoni ein bein." Does the Gemara says there is no distinction meruba katoni. Ultimately, we'll say meruba means tashlumei kefal, that there are more cases where you have to pay kefal than ultimately again when you have to go ahead and pay arba v'chamisha. Ton of the shear. Therefore, Allah said the Mishnah did not create an all-inclusive list. Good. So Rabbi says, so therefore, just two different versions of that previous discussion. Rabbi said, interestingly enough, we're going to see that the way we paskin is as follows. The way we paskin is that there is no distinction between a ganov and toin tainas ganov. So again, this is very interesting. So therefore, for our purposes, whether you surreptitiously steal something, or something is deposited with you, and then you claim it was stolen from you, halacha l'maisa, that has the same din. So in both of those cases, right, for just theft, you'll have to pay kefal. And if it turns out that it was livestock, and you slaughtered it and sold it, you would pay arba v'chamisha, 4 or 5 times the principle, depending on the nature of the livestock that you misappropriated. So halacha l'maisa, ganov and toin tainas ganav are going to be treated the same. Okay, we'll see that a little bit later, conclusively. Shemidas tashlumi kefal nohage. So we'll say, remember again. So the first thing the Mishnah really focused on was the concept that kefal applies to all objects, right? It doesn't matter what you stole, right? So whether I stole Reuven's watch, or whether I stole Reuven's sheep, or I stole Reuven's car, whatever it is, as long as it was a surreptitious theft, right? It was something that I did secretly, so therefore it's gneva. If I am then found, then halacha l'maisa, I have to go ahead and pay kefal. I have to pay kefal. However, again, interestingly enough, conversely, by the way, right, so that's kefal. Arba v'chamisha, the 4 or 5 times penalty payment, that ultimately only goes on livestock, doesn't apply to anything else. From where do you know this? I was about to say, there's two questions over here. Really what we're dealing with primarily is, how do I know that kefal applies to everything? See, here we go. The Tanur Rabbanon, Al-Kosobos, the Gemara, we're going to see now, it's a klalu pratu klal. Really, really quite interesting. So the Gemara says, the Tanur Rabbanon, I'll call Dover Pesha, for any, so we'll say, so just let me quote the pasuk in its entirety. It says, I'll call Dover Pesha for any matter of sin. Al-Shar, Al-Chamor, Al-Se, Al-Salmo, I'll call Aveda Asher Yomar Kihuze Ada Elokim Yavod Dvarshneim. So it's actually talking about over here that halacha l'maisa, for any matter of iniquity on an ox, on a donkey, on a sheep, on a garment, on a lost object, that you will say Kihuze will define all of these phrases. Ada Elokim Yavod Dvarshneim. ultimately before really Ad Elohim, before the judges, this matter will come. Asher Yashirun Elohim Yashalim Shnayim L'Re'ehu. He who the judge finds guilty will ultimately pay double kefil to his fellow. So here we go. I'll call davar pesha for any matter of sin. For any matter of sin, klal. That's a general statement. Al shor al chamor al se al salma, for an ox, for a donkey, for a sheep, for a garment, prat. That's a specific statement. Al kol aveda, for any lost object, chazar v'kalo. That is a general statement again. So we'll say, what do you have? Klalu pratu klal. Now remember, how do you darshan klalu pratu klal? I atadon ele ke'en haprat. In general, when you have a klal uprat uklal, so ultimately, again, the klal is defined or is modified through the prat. What's unique about the prat? Maha prat mefurash davar hametaltal v'gufa mamon. So we'll say the prat in all of these cases is something that is movable, it's mobile, and gufa mamon means it has an inherent value. Right? That's the common denominator. It's movable and it has an inherent value. Af kol davar hametaltal v'gufa mamon. So therefore, I will say, what the pasuk is doing, what the klalu prat does is, what type of object is subject to the kefel obligation? So essentially, the criteria for being subject to kefel is davar hametaltal, you could move it, the gufa mamon, and it has an inherent value. Okay, so what does that come to exclude? Yatsu karko shemetaltalin. So I will say, it turns out that it excludes karka. So if you quote-unquote steal karka, and I will say, the whole notion of stealing karka in general in halacha is an interesting discussion. In general, we have a principle that karka ain't an exelus. You can't steal land. Can't steal land. Again, so, but we'll talk about that. In any event, this comes to exclude land. So let's say for argument's sake, you stole land, right? You would not be subject to kefil for stealing land. Yatsu avadim shukshu karkos. If you stole avadim, right? It excludes avadim, right? Because an eved is compared to land. Yatsu shtaros, it excludes documents. Sha'af api shemetaltalin, even though a document ultimately, again, obviously is mobile, is movable, ein gufan mamon. A document itself does not have an intrinsic or inherent value. Yatsu hegdish. Yatsu hegdish. Furthermore, again, hegdish is also excluded. Re'ehu ksiv, because it was the pasuk phrases this as an act, as a crime, right? A sin committed against your fellow. And remember, again, hegdish is not considered to be your fellow. So this is incredible and incredibly profound. So therefore, the whole notion of what is subject to kefel, what is not. So remember, again, kefel, double payment, let's just get our facts down. Double payment applies where? Where? Gneva, right? Only surreptitious, secretive theft. Now what the pasuk is doing is telling me, so what types of theft are subject to kefel? So now, based on the klal uprat uklal in the pasuk, the only time you're subject to kefel is if you steal an item A that is mobile and B has an inherent value. So really, what is that coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude karka, coming to exclude avadim, right? Because again, karka is not mobile. Eved is compared to karka, coming to exclude shtaros, because a shtar is generally considered to not have an inherent value. Beautiful. And also excludes hegdish, because again, it passes lashon of re'ehu. Beautiful. So why don't we say, in maha prat mefurash davar shenevelasa metame b'mago u'b'masa. I both say the truth is, if you take a look at the items included in the pasuk, what does the pasuk have here? The pasuk has shar chamar seh. Shar chamar seh. What's the common denominator between shar chamar and seh? These are all items that if they die without shchita, right, there's an avela, ultimately, again, their carcass conveys tumah b'mago u'b'masa. Remember, again, mago means touching it. Masa means carrying it. So maybe that's the common denominator. You're chayif a kefil for any item that conveys to a mago amasa. Af kol davar shemetaltalin b'tamei mago amasa. What does this come to exclude? Aval ofos lo. But not birds. We spoke about this before. Birds, right? Do birds convey tuma? So it depends. It depends. Kosher bird conveys tuma, but only when? The beis habliya, when you swallow it. Non-kosher birds do not convey to him at all. So maybe it's coming to exclude birds, that if you steal a bird, it's not subject to kefel. Timar says, Umi matis amritachi, but how can you create that paradigm after all? Vahasalma ksiv. I will say, the pasuk doesn't just speak about kefel in the context of livestock. It also speaks about salma. What's a salma? A garment. a garment. So how can you create that paradigm? To which the Gemara says, you're right, Amri, Anan Babali Chaim Kamrinam. No, you're right. Salma tells me that Kefal also applies to inanimate objects. But what I'm talking about over here is maybe Kefal only applies to livestock, to animals that fit in the criteria ultimately of Shar Chamar Seh. And what's unique about Shar Chamar Seh? That these are items that when they die without Shechita convey Tumah to Maga and Masa. Therefore, the only types of livestock for which you are Chayif or Kefal are items that convey Tumah to Maga and Masa, coming to exclude birds. Ultimately, I got it. Salma teaches me that Kefal applies also to inanimate objects. When it comes to Kefal vis-a-vis Balechayim, animals, it only applies to animals which convey Tumah through Tumaga Masa, top of Samech Gimel. Because we'll say, Daha kol chad v'chad klal uprat ba'ape nafshe darshinale. In other words, we'll say, the way I can look at the Pasuk is essentially, you know, it's actually a very interesting way to look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk is being darshened through a klal uprat uklal. But maybe all of the items mentioned in the Pasuk, in other words, the Pratim, kind of all have their own klal uprat uklal. In other words, there's a klal uprat uklal for Shar, Chamar, and Seh, and there's a klal uprat uklal for Salma. Therefore, it's an interesting way to darshan the Pasuk. So therefore, again, maybe the klal uprat uklal for Shar, Chamar, and Seh teaches me that what? Teaches me that the only type of livestock that is subject to a kefal obligation is the type of livestock that would convey tuma b'maga u'b'masa. But if you have livestock that would not convey tuma b'maga u'b'masa, it's not subject to kefal. What's the livestock that doesn't convey tuma through maga and masa? Birds. That's a set. We'll say Samech Gimel base. Sorry, Samech Gimel Aleph 63a, second line down. Aval ofos lo. But birds should be excluded ultimately again from the din of kefal. Okay. Imkein, nichtov rachmana chad prata. If that's the case, let the Torah just write one prat. In other words, so why do you have to have all of these specific examples of objects in the pasuk? To which the Gemara says, here's the problem. Hey, nichtov, which prat, which specific item should we write in the pasuk of kefal? Ikas of rachmana shar. If the Torah would have just said Shar and Ax, Hava Mina, Karav Lagabi Mizbeach in, Shein Karav Lagabi Mizbeach lo, it will say, this is interesting. Had the Torah just written Shar, it will say, now it's interesting, when you do look at a pasuk like this, it is interesting because the Torah is going out of its way to write all of these items, right? So I'll call Davar Pesha for any matter of sinful behavior by theft, whether it's talking about a Shar, a Chamor, a Seh, or a garment. It's strange. It's strange. In other words, why don't you just say for any object, right? Or give me one example, I'll learn all the other examples from one. Whenever you start with multiple examples like this, it is intriguing. So I'll tell you, here's the problem. If you were to just write one, which one would you write? So let's say, for example, we would choose Shar. Okay, Torah would tell me that there's a din of kefal by Shar. Here's the problem. What's unique about Shar? Shar is an animal that is offered up on the Mizbeach, offered up for sacrificial purposes. So I would have thought, Ikaz of Rahman Shar, Hava Mina Karva Gabi Mizbeach in, Shein Karav Lagabi Mizbeach Lo. I would have thought, since the Torah writes Shar, therefore it's only an animal that has the ability to be offered up on the Mizbeach that is subject to Kefal. But if an animal can't be offered up on the Mizbeach, it's not subject to Kefal. Okay. Ikaz of Rahman Chamar, and the Torah would have just said Chamar. Hava mina kadosh bebechore in, shen kadosh bebechore lo. People say, what's unique about chamar? Chamar, ultimately, again, remember, chamar is the only non-kosher animal that has kedushas bechor, firstborn sanctity. So I would have said, what kind of animal, ultimately, again, is subject to kefal? An animal that has kedushas bechor. But an animal that doesn't have kedushas bechor, maybe should not be subject to kefal. So therefore, again, fine. So imke nichtov rachmana shar v'chamar. Fine. So I understand about saying you need shar and chamar, right? Because remember, again, they both kind of offset each other, right? So whereas shar is an animal that is offered up on the mizbeach, chamar is not. So therefore, it tells you that kefal applies to all animals, whether they're offered up on the mizbeach or not. On the other hand, chamar has firstborn sanctity. But Shar does not. So therefore, that tells you whether an animal is offered up on the Mizbeach or not, whether the animal has Kedushas Bechor or not, everything is subject to Kefal. Beautiful. Now, we'll say, leaves me with one more question, which is, Imke Lechta Rachmana Shar V'chamar Se Lamali. Why do I need Se? Why do I need Se? To which the Gemara says, Shmamina La'asuye Ofos. So Rabbi said, this is interesting. The Gemara says, maybe the inclusion of Seh essentially comes to go ahead and include the rest of the animal kingdom, including birds. Including birds. Because Rabbi said, remember again, like we said before, the problem is if it would have just said Shar and Hamar, right, as much as those two animals are great to tell me that all animals, whether they have firstborn sanctity or offered up on the Mizbeach, it doesn't matter. They're included in the din of Kefal. The problem is they do have a very strong common denominator, which is that Allah Lamaisa, they are subject to Tumah B'Mago B'Masa, which would seem to exclude birds. So therefore, the extra inclusion of Seh, which doesn't, we don't need Seh, right? Seh doesn't really bring anything new to the table, except maybe what it does do is it comes to include the rest of the animal kingdom. The rest of the animal kingdom, and therefore, Halacha Lamaisa, that comes to include everything else, including birds. Okay. I ve'ema la'asuye ofos torim dumya deset dimitame begadana be'esavliya. So we'll say, maybe it only comes to include birds that are tahar. Birds that are tahar, right? That ultimately, again, dumya deset, similar to seh, dimitame begadana be'esavliya. Aval ofos tmeim, maybe seh only comes to include kosher birds. Because kosher birds at least have the ability to convey tumah in some way. Right? Like we said before, if you take a kosher bird, remember we're talking about a kosher bird that did not have shechita. Right? So if a kosher bird that did not have shechita and you swallow it, ultimately it conveys tumah while swallowing it. But a non-kosher, so in that respect, at least the kosher bird is like other animals, which has the ability to convey tumah, as opposed to a non-kosher bird, which doesn't convey tumah at all, to which the Gemara says, lo, kol ribuyohu. They both say, the word kol is a ribuy. Al kol aveda, right? Kol comes to include everything, even ofos. Okay, so therefore I will say, so it turns out, so what's interesting to note over here is, it almost sounds like the way the Pasek is kind of set up is like this. So you need Shar and Chamar, because again, had it just said one of those, one would have thought that in order to be subject to Kefal, you have to have the unique qualities of the particularly stated animal. So if it would have just said Shar, you would have thought it has to be an animal that's offered up on the Mizbeach. If it would have said Chamar, you would have thought that it's an animal that has Kedushas Bechar. So therefore you have both of those. Seh, it sounds like over here, what's happening over here, Seh comes to include birds. But even Seh doesn't really include all birds. Maybe it only includes kosher birds. So therefore the word kol essentially comes to include everything else. Everything else. And that tells me pretty much everything is subject to kefal. Or at least everything in the animal kingdom is subject to kefal. To which the Gemara asks a technical question. So one second. Kol ribuyo. So the Gemara says, V'chol heicha the kas of kol ribuyo. Is that true? Is kol a ribuy? Is that the way it works? That it will say every single time you see the word kol, that kol is an inclusive word that comes to include everything. Well, see, of course, you understand. Everything is always a relative term, but it comes to include everything. Is that the halacha? Watch this. We actually had this gemara not so long ago. Baha gabi meiser. It will say, but yet by meiser sheni, dichsiv kol. Right? It will say, the pasuk about meiser sheni says kol. The kadashin alei bichlal uprat. I will say ultimately again, and we darshan it with a kala prat. What's the pasuk we're referring to? The sanya. We'll say it's incredible. We actually had this not so long ago. V'nasata b'kesef b'chol asher ta'ave nafshecha. So we'll say, so remember again, the pasuk is talking about over here as follows. Context. Meiser Sheni, right, is the tithe that I, the farmer, have to go out and separate during certain years of the 7 year or really 6 year tithing cycle. What's the halacha of Meiser Sheni? It's mine. I get to eat it. With one qualification, which is, has it in Yerushalayim. Let's say, Baruch Hashem, you have, quote unquote, too much bounty. Can never have too much bounty. We have too much bounty, you know, there's too much to carry to Yerushalayim. So, Allah, so what can you do? You can redeem it on money. Transfer Meister Sheni's sanctity onto the money, bring the money to Yerushalayim, and use that money to purchase produce in Yerushalayim. Now, the Pasuk is talking about over here, what can you use the money for in Yerushalayim? So the Pasuk says, V'nasata ha-kasef b'chol asher ta'aveh nafshecha. Right? You could use the money for whatever your heart desires. Now, but I will say, then the Pasuk goes on. Ba'bakar, ba'tzon, ba'yayin, u'ba'shechar. for cattle, for sheep, for wine, for intoxicating beverage, for beer, or b'chol asher tish'alcha nafshecha, whatever your heart desires, I'm reading the pasuk. You will eat there in Yerushalayim before Hashem your God. And you will rejoice, you and your home. You and your home. So Rabosai, so again, this is the pasuk by Ma'aser Sheni. So here we go. Here we go. So now Rabosai, so you will go ahead. Sorry, nafshecha. You will go ahead and use the money for whatever your heart desires. That's a klal. Right? General statement. Which was, again, when you look at this, you always say, what can you use Ma'aser Sheni money for? What can you use it for? Whatever your heart desires. Now, whatever your heart desires is a klal. That means whatever you want. That's a klal. Ba'bakar u'batzon ba'yayin u'bashechar. Then I will say, again, we have cattle, sheep, wine, beer, prat. That, right? That's a specific. Now, again, now we're defining, right? We're limiting. We're giving specific items which you can use Ma'aser Sheni for. B'chol asher tish'alcha nafshecha, whatever your heart desires, once again, chazor v'klal. So we'll say, what do you have over here? We'll say, by the way, you have to say, the beauty of this pasuk of Ma'aser Sheni, this is probably one of the clearest illustrations of a klal uprat uklal. Right? These open-ended statements, use the money for whatever you want. Then again, prat, specific, bakar, son, yayin, sheikhar. And then again, another general statement, b'chol asher tish'alcha nafshecha, whatever you want. So klal uprat uklal. So we'll say, what do you do with this? What do I do with a klal uprat uklal? The way it works in the klal upratu klal is the prat defines the scope of the klal. The prat defines the scope of the klal. So how does that work over here? Rabbi says, what's unique about the prat in all of these cases? Maha prat mafurash pri mi pri vigiduli karga. So Rabbi says, what's unique about the prat? What's unique? What's unique about the prat ultimately, again, as well as say the prat in all of these cases, the prat of bakar, son, yayin, and sheikhar is primi pri. It isn't something that comes from something else, ugidule karko. And ultimately, again, it grows from the ground. So, say, so just to plug that back in, bakar, son, right? Let's look at this. Bakar, son, primi pri. They're born of a mother, right? They come from something. Gidule karka, they grow from the ground. They're considered as if they grow from the ground. Why? Because they're nourished. They graze. Right? So because they're grazing animals, they're considered as if they grow from the ground. Obviously, again, yayin shechar, ultimately, again, are made from dates, made from grapes, which grow from the ground. So that's the prat. So af kol primi pri gidule karka. Say, Rabbi, say, what can you use your Ma'aser Sheni money for? Anything that's primi pri, something that comes from something else and grows from the ground. So the Gemara says, Amri, bakol klala. So Rabosai, so now here's what's interesting. We were just saying before Rabosai that kol is a ribui, right? Kol is a ribui. We just said that before. And the Pasuk ultimately, again, by Kefel, that the Pasuk said by Kefel, al kol aveda. And we just said kol is a riboy, and the riboy includes everything. Here I will say we're using kol as a klal, not as a riboy. So what's going on over here? To which the Gemara says, you're right. Amri, bikol, klala, kol ribuyahu. It's interesting if I will say it's two words. The Gemara says, bikol is a klal, kol is a riboy. So by Ma'aser Sheni, I have the word bikol. So bichol ultimately again is a riboy, but again by kefel I have kol, which we're using as a riboy. Okay, the by saying the other possibility is kol klalahu. In general, kol is a klal. Mihu kol dahacha ribuyahu. But it could be in general that kol is a klal, but the kol over here by kefel is being used as a riboy. Okay, but it could also be. The simple answer could also be that simply one word could be used in different exegetical ways, depending on the context of the pasuk. In any event, michti ksiv meikara klal uprat uklal dechsiv kiitin ish areehu. So we'll say. So we now watch this. The Gemara goes like this. So now, fine. We had that little Ma'aser Sheni break. Now back to kefel. So here we go. Michti. Let's analyze this. Ksiv meikara klal uprat uklal. I will say by kefel, the way the pasuk was structured was a klal uprat uklal. How so? Here we go. Dechsiv. Ki yitein ish areehu kesef o kelim. The pasuk says, ultimately again, if you give to your fellow, kesef or kelim. Right? I should say it differently. Ki yitein ish areehu. When you give to your fellow. So in other words, I gave something to my friend. ultimately again to watch. So we'll say, what is that? What am I giving him? Right, klal. That's anything. Kesef o kelim. Then it says I give him ultimately a money or utensils. Prat. So ultimately that's a specific statement. Lishmar, to go ahead and guard. Hadar v'kalal. Ultimately, again, that went ahead, and that's another general statement as well. So you have a klal uprat uklal in the pasuk of kefal. Visa daitcha hai al kol davar pesha nami lichlal uprat hu daasa. Here's what's interesting. There are two different psukim over here, right? So the pasuk that we were quoting before, was al kol davar pesha. Where we also had a ribui of ultimately again of a klal uprat uklal. And over here, the second pasuk of a klal uprat uklal. So it sounds like there are two different psukim that the Gemara is darshaning by kefal. So now what we're going to try to understand is why do I need two psukim? So watch this. So the Gemara says, "Thisaraitcha hai al kol davar pesha." So we'll say that al kol davar pesha, which we were talking about before. Nami lechlalu pratu daasa, nichtov rachmana lahane prate gabihech, klalu pratu klal. I'll call davar pesha lamali. So what the Gemara is asking over here essentially is, why do you need two klal, prat, and klals? We're dashing two psukim, which seems to indicate about everything that's included in the obligation of kevel. And the Gemara is asking a very simple question. Why do I need two separate psukim? Shmamina ribuyuhu. So we'll say ultimately again, it must be because one of them is not being darshan as a klal upratu klal. Rather, one of them is being darshaned as a ribuy. Otherwise, you're going to say it would be repetitive. To which the Gemara says, hashta da amrit kol ribuya. So we'll say, so now that I know that the word kol is a ribuy, right? And kol comes to include everything. If that's the case, the Gemara says, kol hani prati lamali. So then we'll say, so now we're back to square one, right? So we'll say, we're going back to the original policy that we spoke about before. When we said, akol aveda, kol comes to include everything. Kol is a ribui. And kol essentially teaches me that what? Everything is subject to kefel. Okay. If everything is subject to kefel, I go back to my original question, which is, why does the pasuk need to list shar, chamar, se, and salma? Right, we're right back to where we were. In other words, if kol includes everything, why do they need to be item specific? So here we go. To which the Gemara says, no. We know the answer to that. The answer to that is chalami ute karka, chalami ute avodim, the chalami ute shtaras. The Rabbi says, remember again, I need the specifics. Why do I need the specifics? Because Rabbi says, remember again, what did we say before? Based on shar chamar se, what does that teach me? And salma, what does that teach me? That teaches me ultimately, again, that in order to be subject to kefel, you have to be an item that is mobile and has an inherent value. That comes to exclude what? Karka, which is not mobile. Avadim, which is compared to karka, right? And shtaros. Why shtaros? Ultimately doesn't have an inherent value. Salma, lemeute davar she'ena mesuyam. So I'll say, this is interesting. Salma is very fascinating. Salma, I'll say, what's unique about a garment? A garment has a simen, right? Now, I'll say, remember again, you have to appreciate something. We think about clothing as being mass-produced, right? So mass-produced clothing, right? You and I, we go to the store, we buy the same shirt. Your shirt is like my shirt. Remember, when clothing is individually produced, right? It's custom clothing, right? Everything has some unique aspect to it. So what Salma says about Say is, the only way to make a claim of theft and ultimately be entitled to kefel, Salma teaches me, the object that is stolen must be something that is identifiable by the owner. But for argument's sake, if you have a mass-produced item, then halacha lemaisa, if there's no simen, you can't really claim kefal. Interesting idea. That's what Salma lemeute davar she'ena masuyam. Look at Rashi, last Rashi on the page. Lemeute davar she'ena masuyam she'en lebaylem simen bo shepatim kefal. If you have an item that does not have a simen, then ultimately, again, halacha lemaisa, you can't make a claim of kefal, which makes sense, because if it doesn't have a simen, then what about say? There's no way really for you to make a legitimate claim that the object that is lost belongs to you. Okay, interesting idea. Al kol aveda. We'll say, what about the phrase al kol aveda? So we'll say, so I just want to point out what's happening over here. Right? So now remember again, this has just been a beautiful journey. Just the darshan, the klal upratu, klal upratu klal, but really to highlight one central point, which is what? The kol in the pasuk I will say. Al kol davar pesha, right? Al kol, the kol, which is actually mentioned twice in the pasuk, al kol aveda, the kol is a ribui. And what kol does in this pasuk is says that kefel applies to everything. But if kefel applies to everything, why do you need specific examples listed in the pasuk? To which the Gemara says, because the truth is, kefel applies to everything, but it doesn't apply to everything. In other words, it applies to everything. It applies to everything that exists within a certain group, right? Which exists in certain parameters. The examples in the pasuk define the parameters. So for example, shar chamar se define parameters. What are the parameters? Ultimately, again, an item ultimately that is mobile, right, and has inherent value. That excludes karka avadim shtaros. Kevel doesn't apply. Salma says that ultimately, again, only an item that has a simen. Right, only item that has some a definable trait, a definable quality, simon, mark or sign. Good, right? So it has to have a simon. So they both say what Cole says is now that we're defining our parameters. Essentially, if it's an item that is mobile, has an inherent value, and has a simon, anything Cole says, anything and everything that fits into that category ultimately is going to be subject to kefel. Fascinating. To which the Gemara says, "Al kol aveda." They both say, but still, I have another phrase: "Al kol aveda." Any object that's lost, what does that come to include? L'chidu b'chibar abba. Don't b'chibar abba. So we'll say that comes to include b'chibar abba. What does b'chibar abba hold? Don't b'chibar abba. Rabbi Yochanan hatoin tainas ganov. So we'll say on the base ba'aveda b'shai d'shulim kefa. Oh, so we'll say. So remember again. Now we're really back to square one. This goes back to what we started a little. This is literally the first Gemara in the Gemara. So remember again, there are two ways that you could be a ganav, right? Let's talk about this. It's good to know. Two ways in which you can become a ganav, right? Way number one, Abosai, right? Old school ganav. Old school ganav, right? You're not looking, I steal your wallet, right? Or I break into your car at night, break into your house at night, right? Old school ganav. There's another form of ganeva, which is, Ruvain deposits an object with me, comes back to claim it. I say, I don't have it. It was stolen. Now again, I will say it's very important. I'm making the claim it was stolen. So now halacha says it turns out it was stolen. Who was it stolen by? Me. That's called toin tainas ganov. That's called making the claim of theft. On the consumer claim, so we'll say, so now watch this. Now the Gemara is asking, what does the phrase al kol aveda come to do? So the Gemara suggests al kol aveda comes to teach me that if halacha l'maaseh you are toin tainas ganav, you're the custodian, and now when the owner comes to reclaim the object, you claim that it was stolen from you, but it turns out that you're the actual thief. That even in that case, you have to pay kefal as well. Shene emar al kol aveda asher yomar. Beautiful. So if I will say that, this is really incredible. That rounds out the whole pasuk. So if I will say, what we have over here by the pasuk by Kefal is like this. Kol comes to teach me that Kefal applies to everything. But now the Gemara says, okay, what's everything? Let's define the parameters of everything. So Shar, Chamar, Se teaches me the object has to be mobile and have an inherent value. Salma comes to teach that the item has to have a simen. Al Kol Aveda teaches me that the din of kefel doesn't just apply to a straight-out thief, to a straight-out ganav, but also applies to toin tainos ganav. Incredible. They both say that's the pasuk. Beautiful. They both say, sound like you're on base 63b, second line down. Tonight, hustle. We learn there. Hechem pikdoni. They both say, here we go. Great case here. Right? Ruvain deposited his object with me. He said, I don't want to be the Rasha. Today it's early, I don't want to be the Rasha. Right? I deposited my object with Ruvain. Let Ruvain be the Rasha. Right? It's about to say every day, ultimately, again, there's a new opportunity. Right? What my hava, what was yesterday is done. Maybe yesterday I was a Rasha. But just because I was a Rasha yesterday does not mean that I have to be a Rasha today. Every day, Sasamis brings down that when every day that begins, a person is like a katan shenolad. I'm like literally, again, a child who has been reborn. We often look at time as a continuum, right? So that yesterday is an extension of, today is an extension of yesterday. Sasamis brings down that's not how time works. Each and every day is looked at as a unit, as a lifetime in and of itself. So yesterday was terrible. Okay, there's an opportunity to course correct today. And I don't come into today saddled with the baggage, ultimately, of yesterday. You know, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh brings down in Devarim an incredible yesod. Aruch Chaim says that the neshama is made up of multiple individual parts. And every day when you go to sleep, there's a piece of your neshama that ascends heavenward. And after 120, when you go up to Shemayim, all of those parts of your neshama assemble together to become one cohesive unit. So there's a beauty, there's a beautiful part, and there's a scary part in that. The scary part in it is that if yesterday was really bad, that means that that part of my neshama has already ascended heavenward, and it's kind of there. It's kind of there, a little bit like locked in. The beautiful part about that is that today, I begin with a brand new chilek of my neshama. There's a brand new piece, untainted, pure, righteous, beautiful, magnificent. And so whatever the mistakes of yesterday were, they do not follow me into today. Okay, so therefore, Reuven is going to be the Rasha. So now watch this. I deposit the object with Reuven. Now what happens? I go over to Reuven. So I give Reuven my watch. Right, so Reuven, do me a favor. I want you to look at what, right, guard my watch. I come with Reuven and say, Hechan Piktoni. So where's my Pikadon? Where's my watch? Amarle Avad. Reuven says, I'm so sorry. Lost it. Avad, it got lost. I should say, ultimately it was lost. So Mashbi Achani. So I go to Reuven and say, Reuven, okay, so take a Shavua. Take a Shavua that it was lost. Va Amar Amen. And ultimately Reuven takes the Shavua. Va Eden also Sha'achlo. And we'll say, after Reuven takes the Shavua, witnesses show up, and they say, no. Reuven didn't lose it. Literally, achla means he consumed it. He consumed it. In other words, he sold it. Right? Or he has it. Right? What's talacha? Mishalem es akaren. Ultimately, again, we'll say he has to pay back. So again, he lied. He has the object. He has to pay back the karen, the principal. Ho da'api atzmo. What happens if he admitted it? Right? In other words, he swore falsely, and then he admitted that he swore falsely. Then what's the halacha? Mishalim keren v'chomesh v'asham. Then Rabbi says again, he pays principal, chomesh, the additional fifth, this and an asham, a karban. That's the penalty for swearing falsely. Okay, Rabbi says, now I want to point out over here, you're asking, why didn't he pay kefel? Now remember, why not? He didn't make a claim of theft. What was the claim he made? It was lost. So therefore, when you make a claim that it was lost, and it turns out that you're a liar, you have to pay keren. If it turns out that you're a liar and you also took a false shavua, you pay keren, right? Principal, chomesh, additional fifth, and asham, the karban. Next, hechan piktone. Go over to Reuven. Reuven, where's my watch? Where's my item? Amar lo, I'm so sorry. Nignav, it was stolen. I say, okay, mashbi achani. Listen, Reuven, it's not that I don't trust you, but I don't trust you. So therefore, again, you're going to take a shvua. I mean, I'm going to ask you to swear. And what happens? Va'amra amen. And he swears. Va'idim me'idim ozo shenignav. Now we'll say, after he swore, witnesses show up and they say, Reuven, you stole it. We know that you have it. So we'll say, first wide line, Mishayim tashlumi kefel. Ah, here we go. So we'll say, he pays kefel. Then we'll say, why does he pay kefel? Because halacha l'maaseh said, this is toin tainas ganav. Right, so now again, Reuven, the shomer, is claiming that the item was stolen. So he's making a claim of theft. It turns out that he stole it himself. Therefore, he's chayiv kefal. Hold the me'atzmo. They will say, what happens after? If after having taken the shavua, he admits on his own that Allah Almighty he lied. V'shayim keren v'chomesh v'asham. Then ultimately, and I will say, then he goes in, he pays principal, the fifth, and the cover. I will say, now why is that? Remember, kefal is a knas. Kefal is a penalty. What's the halacha by mode b'knas? If you admit that you owe the penalty, pater, then ultimately you're exempt. So in this case over here, where he admits that he stole it, again, he's admitting a little, again, unfortunately, he took the shavua already. So halacha l'maisa, he's going to have to go ahead and pay karen, but right, and chomesh, and asham for the false shavua. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Katani miha b'toyin tainas kana d'mashayim tashlomei kefal. So I will say, what you see over here is something very interesting. That halacha lemaisa, if you are a shomer watching an object, and you make a false claim that the object was stolen, but in fact it was not stolen, that halacha lemaisa, and it turns out that you're lying, that ultimately you pay kefal. That you kefal. That's the case of toin tainas ganav. Aval, toin tainas avad, lo mishalim tashlame kefal. But I will say, what is clear is, that if you make a false claim that the item was lost, and it turns out the item was not lost, you don't pay kefal. Okay, well, that's exactly what it says, right? So remember again, if Reuven claims the object was lost, but it turns out that he stole it, he doesn't go ahead and pay kefal. It's only if he claims that it was stolen. So the Gemara says, "Va'afilu toin tainas kana b'shvuahu d'mashayim tashlomei kefal." Now, here's what's interesting. The way the Gemara seems to set this up over here is, the only reason also why he's paying kefal is why? Because he went ahead and he took a false oath. Right? That ultimately, again, halacha lemaisa, he went ahead and he swore that the object was stolen. Then it turns out that he really stole it. That's when he pays kefal. However, aval shelo b'shvua, eino mishalim tashlumei kefal. Now, we'll say, what it sounds like over here is like this. What if you were to have a stam case, right? I go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, you know, I deposited my watch with you. Can I please have it back? And Reuven says, I'm so sorry, it was stolen. Let's say no shavua occurred. Witnesses show up, they say, Reuven, you stole it, you have it. So I will say, in that case, it sounds like Reuven would not pay kefal. He would pay keren. In other words, the reason why kefal is coming on the scene over here is why, Rose. In other words, what creates the kefal obligation is the shavua. It's the shavua. So it's dafka with the because of the false shavua, that's why halacha lemaisa, you have to pay kefal. Okay. To which the Gemara says, why is that? In other words, we'll say, so again, so let's look what's happening over here. Remember, we have two cases. Classic Geneva. What's classic Geneva? Right? Reuven comes over, right? Comes into my home when I'm not there and takes my watch. We'll just keep the same, right? Takes my watch. That's Geneva. He's found to be the thief. He has to go ahead and pay kefal. Now I will say the second case is toin tainas ganav. So remember again, the object came into Reuven's rishus permissibly. Why? I deposited it with him. Now I will say the Gemara suggests, I come to Reuven. Reuven, give me back my object. Reuven says, I'm so sorry. The object was stolen. So now halacha lemaisa, the object was stolen. So now the way the Bryce introduced it was, and now Reuven swears that the object was stolen, then witnesses come along and say, no, you have it. So now what's the halacha? Reuven is a ganav, he has to go ahead and pay kefal. The Gemara understands it's only because in toin tainas ganav, it's only when you take a shavua that generates an obligation for kefal. But if there was no shavua, even if witnesses come along, he'd pay keren, but not kefal. Gemara says, okay, Menhanimili, how do you know that? Why, how do you know that it's dafka shavua that goes ahead and generates tainas, that generates a chiv of kefal in toin tainas ganav? Where does that come from? Menhanimili, here we go. The Tan Rabbanon, imi matzia ganav. So we'll say the pasuk over here is talking about as follows. So remember again, the pasuk says, ki yitein ish al re'eu kesef al kelim lishmar. If a person will give to his fellow, right, money or utensils to watch, or he deposited an item, the gunav mi beis ha'ish, and then the object is stolen from the home of that individual, from the shomer, em yimatze haganav yishalim shnayim. If the thief is found, the thief has to pay kefal, has to pay double. So the Gemara says, em yimatze haganav, if the thief will be found, we'll say, what does that refer to? The toin tainas ganav akasa medaber. This is talking about the shomer who goes in and claims that the object was stolen from him. So the Gemara says, "B'koyin tainas ganav kasa medaber." I told him, "Toyin tainas ganav." Oh, ain't no ella beganav atzma. How do you know? How do you know it's toyin tainas ganav? Maybe he's talking about a person who just stole himself. Kishu omer im lo yimatzeh haganav b'toyin tainas ganav kasa medaber. Because the pasuk, remember again, the pasuk says im lo yimatzeh haganav. There's another pasuk. I'm going to say that talks about actual theft, right? Straight out theft, the ganav himself. The fact that second pasuk talks about a ganov indicates that our pasuk is talking about toin tainas ganov, where you have a shomer, and the shomer is claiming that the object was stolen from him. So tanya idach, another braisa, emi matzeh haganov, if ultimately the thief is found, begonev atzmo akosov medaber. The Torah over there is talking about a case of the ganov himself. Okay, so the Gemara says, good. Aton beganav atzmo. You say the person talking about the ganav himself. Oh, in the elevatorian tanis ganav. Maybe he's talking about someone who claims that the object was stolen. I.e. a shomer. To which the Gemara says, kishu omer im lo yimatzi haganav. When the pasuk says, if the ganav will not be found, haritoin tanis ganav. That's talking about again a person who claims that the object was stolen from a shomer. So the Gemara's Amar, Hamani Mekayim Imi Matzei Aganav. So I, then what do I do with the phrase Imi Matzei Aganav? Beganav Atzma Kasa Medaber. That's talking about ultimately the Ganav himself. So I will say, what you see over here is you have two Pesukim. So what the Gemara is doing over here is using one of them, ultimately again, to be a reference to Ganav himself, person who straight out steals, and the second pasuk to be a reference to Toin Tainas Ganav. That's someone with whom the object is deposited, and he claims that the object was stolen from it. The Kuli Alma, because everyone will agree, the Kuli Alma Mias, Imlo Yimatzei Aganav, and Toin Tainas Ganav, Ksiv, I will say everyone agrees that the phrase Imlo Yimatzei Aganav is talking about, again, the person, the Shomer, who makes the claim that the object was stolen from him. So the Gemara says, my Mashma, how do you know that? In other words, I will say, how do you know which phrase to ascribe to what? So how do you know that the phrase in lo yimatzei haganov refers to toin tainas ganov and not the ganov himself? To which the Gemara says, "Amar Rav, I'll tell you why." Im lo yimatzei, the phrase im lo yimatzei kimas sha'amar elishu atzmo ganvo yishalim shnayim. Because the Gemara again, Rav just says straight out. Ultimately, again, lo yimatzei kimas sha'amar. Rather, it's referring to elishu ganov atzmo. So that phrase just lends itself to be talking about the person who steals himself, and it's not steals himself, who steals, the person who straight out himself steals. Yishalim shnayim uminam d'bishva. So therefore, Rabbi says, so now, based on those two psukim, remember, we're trying to ascertain two things. So based on the fact that I have two similar phrases, that teaches me that the chiyuv of kefal, one of those psukim tells me that the chiyuv of kefal applies to a person who straight out steals, the ganov. And then the second pasuk teaches me that the chiyuv of kefal applies to toin tainas ganov, the person with whom the object was deposited, and then halacha l'maisa, when the owner comes to get it back, he claims, I don't have it, and then it turns out that he did steal his chayiv, he's chayiv for kefal. Now we come to the next question. So I'll say, how do I know that by toin tainas ganov, right, toin tainas ganov, you're only chayiv for kefal if you first swore that you did not have the object. So the Gemara says, this sign of nikra balabais el elokim. So the pasuk says, the balabais ultimately again will approach before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ultimately, so what do I do with that? So what does that refer to? L'shvua. We'll say, what does it mean coming close to God or coming close to elokim? In this case, elokim actually means the judges, right? How do I know? What does that refer to? Shvua. Ata omer l'shvua o eno elo ledin. You say it means a shuva, but maybe it just means for adjudication. Nemar shlichus yad lamatav, nemar shlichus yad lamala. We'll say it talks about stretching forth your hand. You know, misappropriation of an object before and afterwards. Mala halon l'shvua, af kan l'shvua. Just like earlier on it talks about by shvua, so too over here it's referring to shvua as well. So therefore, we'll say the phrase of im lo shalach yad b'malach esrei'ehu ultimately again refers to shvua itself. That teaches you that by toin tainas ganov, it only applies ultimately after the shul. We'll have to stop over. We're leaving off at this bishlama. So we'll say, bottom line, here's what we end off with. Through based on the drasha psukim, what we have over here is that the din of kefal will apply ultimately again by a ganov himself and by toin tainas ganov. What's unique about toin tainas ganov is the only time that the obligation for kefal is triggered is when ultimately, again, the Shomer lied, right? He took Shvua, and he said, I swear I did not steal the object. Then it turns out that what? He did steal the object. That's when the Kefal obligation is triggered. Again, we have the first part of that drasha. The rest of the drasha is to be continued tomorrow, Bosai. Shkoyach. Yeah.